You're listening to Discography Discussion, episode 262, Pallbearer, hosted by Dan Terry.
Well, let's just start things off heavy, shall we?
And Joseph Wren. I'm down. Presented by DiscussMetal.com. And if you plea for understanding in a world of depravity, then you are ready for this episode of Discography Discussion. I am Joe. That is Dan.
Joe, you know what I love? Metal bands from Little Rock, Arkansas.
It's a good town for your favorite metal band, my favorite metal band, members of your favorite kind of metal band. It's a place that brings a lot of really good metal into the mainstream. Then Pallbearer shows up.
Hey, I'm just amazed that it's a metal band from Little Rock, Arkansas that Rocky Gray wasn't in.
I was expecting a band dressed all in black, walking around saying, oh, yes, a lot. Maybe the band has a series of urns that they bring out to the stage and tell everyone how The Undertaker is going to take your soul. Wait, this is 1992 WWF again, right?
Yeah, you're doing that whole thing. I was like, I can't tell if he's going in a wrestling direction or in a ghost direction. Or, hey, maybe a little bit of both.
Might as well.
Pallbearer has been sold to me by people as, quote unquote, the greatest doom metal of all time to ever exist. And I can't say I agree with that because they're called Pallbearer and not Candlemass. So, you know, we've got a little bit of a difference of opinion on that. Pallbearer is very interesting to me, though, in how they are able to combine what you would expect from doom metal, which is, you know, heavy, doomy, slow, melancholic riffs. And, you know, it's more traditional doom metal. So, you know, this is not like a My Dying Bride where Cookie Monster is telling us about dipping the cookie into the pool of pure white, you know, milk white purity, only to be devoured by the maw of a ravenous Muppet. This is definitely more laid back. It's more subdued. It's more sorrowful, if that's a way you can really describe it. But these guys differ from doom metal bands like, you know, maybe something like Electric Wizard, which would be considered like stoner doom. It's not quite stoner doom levels of trippiness or mind numbingness. Really, it's just very, very, very sad, slow, heavy music, which technically does fit into the realm of doom metal, but also fits very well into the realm of shoegaze.
The main comparison I could draw this week was to Hum. This sounds like very sad, very upset, very ghost wants to be Hum, but they still want to sing about Satan. And it really worked for me that way. It was the opposite of feeling good. It really brings the gloomy atmosphere. I would say doom and gloom, but that would be too on the nose. Oh shit, I just said that. It was a surprise for me how much I enjoyed it, because I wasn't really in the mood to be brought down this week. I wanted some high energy, disgusting 80s hair influenced metal.
I mean, that's next week.
I also had to listen to Pallbearer. So brace yourselves. It's going to be a sad one. But isn't that what you want when you're listening to doom metal?
I love that there is this idea of, yes, you're going to have a sad time. Not you're going to have a bad time. You're going to actually have a really good time, but it's going to be sad. And yes, I mean, I'd say let's dig in, you know, dig into this sort of feast of melancholy.
Well, before Dan learns the sorrow of the infinite sadness, I'm going to take this time to say thank you to everyone for listening to the podcast. Thank you for listening and for subscribing. If you are not a subscriber, then you can find everything Discography Discussion at DiscussMetal.com. We are on Spotify, Apple and Google Podcasts, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, iHeartRadio. So if you have an Amazon Echo or a Google Home, you have no excuse. Ask it to play the latest episode of the Discography Discussion podcast, and it will. We're also on Facebook and on Twitter at Discuss Metal. Be sure to like, favorite, and subscribe. It really helps us out. It lets us know you're listening. And now Dan is going to tell us all about 5-star reviews.
We love 5-star reviews here on Discography Discussion. You want to leave us a review? Leave us a review. I think the only place you can leave us a written review would be on everybody's favorite podcast platform, Apple Podcasts. But I know you can leave us starred reviews and things like that. But or if you just want to tell us something, send us an email at danandjoeshow@gmail.com. We read most of that stuff on the show. So if you want your voice to be heard, we will help amplify it out into the masses. And speaking of amplifying things out into the masses, if you would like to sponsor an episode of Discography Discussion, maybe have us talk about your band or your product or your company, send us an email again at danandjoeshow@gmail.com and we will see what we can work out.
It's been a few weeks, but I want to shout out Matt Nas from The Roach Coach and Rance Denton from FPS and everything we do here at Discuss Metal sometimes. Discuss Metal Live. It's happened. It happened in the beginning of this month. It's going to happen again next month and every month. Did we settle in on the first Friday of the month, or is that just what's going on in my head right now?
Might be what's going on in your head right now, but I can tell you it will happen every month forever. It's like a brown stain on your white couch. It will never go away. No matter how hard you scrub it, there will always be an episode of Discuss Metal Live that you're going to try to put a book on top of when your family members come over.
We talked about the music of Doom this month. You found a way to get it in there one more time, because every time I think you've run out of things to talk about with Doom, you find a way to twist that knife and get everybody back in the pit with John Romero.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, it is one of my biggest pleasures in life is just shooting, you know, animated demons on my computer screen. But actually, it's funny. I got into Doom Metal because it was called Doom Metal. This was one of those genres that I was like, when I was younger, I didn't know anything about what it was or what it was supposed to be like. I was just like, it's called Doom Metal, so no matter what it sounds like, I'm going to like it. And it didn't really sound the way I expected it to sound at all. But I'm into it. And, you know, before we get into this long, drawn out conversation about Doom, the style of music, not the game. We did that already. I want to say that, you know, when I'm talking about, I know I use the word Doom Metal kind of interchangeably when talking about death Doom bands or traditional Doom bands or stoner Doom bands or sludge Doom bands or funeral Doom bands or drone Doom bands. I could go on and on. Doom metal is one of those genres of heavy metal that originated more with that sort of heavy Black Sabbath sound and went in all of the different directions that metal in general went throughout the years.
So, Dan, tell me about Paul Bearer.
Well, Paul Bearer is an American doom metal band. They come from Little Rock, Arkansas, like we mentioned. And these guys have been around since 2008, so they're a relatively young band, but they have they've put out, you know, 4 records, which qualified us to talk about them on this show. So all the people that told us to check out Paul Bearer, get off my back, man. We did it now. Okay, we're going to talk about your favorite band. And I don't want to spoil the episode, but I was actually pretty impressed with these guys. I'm not going to lie. I really wasn't sure I was in the mood, kind of like Joe was saying earlier. I wasn't sure if I was in the mood to be brought down like this because I did just get back from a very fun vacation. So life was very fun and upbeat. And I don't know if I was ready to face the harsh realities of life. But Paul Bearer does not care what I think or how I feel. It is all about the expression of how they feel. What you have with Paul Bearer is a band that is basically sort of their foundation is traditional doom metal, maybe with a little bit of stoner doom in there. But they also mix in a kind of a lot of this like shoegazy, almost post rock sort of stuff. So like if you listen to bands like Pelican, you kind of know what I'm talking about, except they actually sing. And I think, like I said, I was kind of taken aback by the band and kind of impressed before it was all over.
I like the Black Sabbath comparison. I don't think Black Sabbath when I think doom metal. Those lines do not cross in my brain. But there was a time when Black Sabbath was this really dark, heavy, bluesy rock band that had a reputation for tuning everything down until The strings of your guitar and bass sound like rubber bands bouncing between two trees. It just was a live, gloomy experience. So anytime you can point to that and say, here's an entire genre of music that kind of goes that direction, once you apply all of the doom staples, the long, drawn-out rhythmic passages, you're closer to Hum for me. But it's okay, however you want to look at it, you're going to get this gloomy experience. It's going to make you feel a little dark, a little down, and it works when there's snow on the ground. It's in that winter vibe that we talk about with some other bands.
Yeah, I think it's got that. It's weird. Sometimes I feel winter. Sometimes I feel more like really humid summer. And I don't know if that's like a Little Rock thing or what it is. But yeah, I get the vibe of just like living on some property that's real run down off the side of the highway, where the weeds are overgrown, and there just doesn't seem to be a lot of hope anywhere. There's no bustle, so to speak.
2012, Sorrow and Extinction.
Well, let's just start things off heavy, shall we?
I'm down.
I remember looking at these and being like, five tracks. Are we sure that these are out 48 minutes? It's a doom band. Yep, it's an album. I get over that little bias pretty quickly. But yeah, I mean, this is a very, very solid debut by the band. And this is where I kind of like really right off the gate, this is where I started realizing that this is not a riff band in the sense of they're not a riff band in that most doom metal bands have a rhythm guitarist that just comes up with incredible, soul-crushing, dark, dank riffs. And Pallbearer has that here, but less so. It's less about the riff and more about how it sounds. So you get sort of riffs that seem to meander. I mean, I've seen people complain about this band being a little too meandery, but I think that's actually what sets them apart from other doom metal bands, is I don't feel the monotony. I kind of just get so sucked in by the way it all sounds and the way it all makes me feel. The underlying riffs are extremely heavy, but then there's all these sort of melodic flourishes going on, you know, just dipping in and out and on top of and underneath the riffs. And with the vocals, which sound almost like ethereal, you know, they're mixed weirdly in a good way, to where they don't overpower anything. And if you're going to be selling us on the fact that we're all depressed, it sounds like a depressed dude singing, where he's not, you know, going to become some virtuoso. He's just like, here I am and I'm singing the song.
Tonal despair. That's what this album sounds like to me. You could easily play these songs with a faster tempo, and it would sound like a completely different band. But because you're applying this level of warmth and atmosphere to all the instruments, then the vocals are just this reverb-laden belting of tenor. It just makes you feel hopeless, and I think it really works. It does meander a bit, but if you're listening to doom metal or you're listening to a band like this, isn't that exactly what you want? You want the atmosphere, you want the feeling, you want the soundscape to build and keep dragging on and on for 12 to 15 minutes. Where's Jeff? This is his band.
I know this episode, and I'm just going to say it, Joe might cut it out because it sounds negative, but here we are. This episode is absolutely crippled by the absence of Jeff.
Hey, y'all.
Who could go on and on and on, specifically about every part of his life that these songs remind him of.
I was imbibing alcohol legally.
And for me, I definitely can feel a lot of that. This definitely drug up some old emotions that I had about things that I had thought that I was over, but clearly all you have to do is throw some shoegazy doom riffs over it, and then now I'm back in that moment. I'm back in that spot. As an album, I think that this band does a really good job of making music that is cosmetically not very interesting, more interesting. Like, it's more interesting. You mentioned speeding up the songs. If you sped up some of this stuff, it would not be like great music. Like, it wouldn't be music that made a whole lot of sense together. You know, the riffs wouldn't seem like they belong together, and you don't have these long sort of transitions out of one idea and into another idea. And so I think that these guys' biggest strength is that they're not brief, and they're able to kind of just explore as much of an idea as they want to explore without time being an issue or a factor in the creative process. And I'm going to say very similar things sort of going forward with this band. People always ask me for standout tracks, and I'll be honest, I don't think there are any standout tracks on this particular record. I think overall I enjoy it, but I do think that on the negative side, I think a lot of it is more samey sounding than I would expect from a band that's only going to give us 5 different ideas in one album. But, you know, it does get better.
2014, Foundations of Burden is exactly what this album sounds like.
Oh, yes. not necessarily a burden to listen to. I did quite enjoy this one. But, man, it really, really doubles down on that feeling of hopelessness.
Do you ever feel like you have too much to do and you have not enough time? And, by the way, here's some more. That's what this album sounds like. Fuck you, it's only Thursday.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this is rough. I mean, not rough in a bad way. Like I said, if you enjoyed the last album, you're going to enjoy this one. I think this one's heavier. It's more gloom and doom than before. But like I said, you know, it's weird to me to be hearing this band that's popular as a doom metal band kind of being more in that pocket of, we're just going to make you feel like you're depressed in a parking lot somewhere, more so than just hitting you with hard hitting riffs. I don't think that fans of doom metal are necessarily depressed. I think that's a stereotype. I think a lot of those guys are here strictly for the riffs. But then you've got a band like Paul Bearer that does have good riffs, but everybody that listens to Paul Bearer is really here for the depression. Which is kind of a table turning sort of moment here. I like this record a lot. I actually like it more than I like the first one because it is heavier, it is gloomier, and it has a little bit more of that traditional doom metal feel to it. And the post rock and, dare I say, even slight prog tendencies are a little bit more tastefully done here. And but yeah, with a band like this that's just sort of trying to perfect what they do, I think this is a swing and a hit. I don't know if it's a home run yet, but it is a swing and a hit for sure.
At this point in the discography, you know what you're in for. It's not going to feel good. It's going to sound good. For me, it's the ending of Polar Similar, after Corey Brandon has belted out his last extreme vocal and the band is starting to mellow out a bit. You're going to get 8 to 9 minutes of atmospheric doom and gloom. And I think that's the part that works when it's the payoff or the release from the tension. Now, looking at the band by themselves, I don't know if it's enough for me to go back to it. But I'm also not in the mood to listen to this type of doom metal all day, all week. I'm actually looking for energetic metal this week. So maybe this has its place. And I do think it's a little bit better than the previous album. But it's still doom metal. It still feels longer than it needs to be. And the ideas really don't change. You know what you're going to get for the next 15 minutes. Every track starts.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the only downside sort of to this genre as a whole, is just that sort of you're given a certain feeling. And again, it might be different if you're like a diehard fan and you're waiting a couple of years between releases. But with Joe and I, you know, that we could have a whole different discussion about how the accessibility of music kind of ruins appreciation of music, in that, you know, we haven't been listening to these records for 2 years, so we're not going to necessarily be as familiar with all of the intricacies of each song. And I do think that that is sort of a bad thing. But yeah, I really think that they did a good job on this album. I just wish that there had been a little bit more to differentiate it from the first. And I also get, though, that, you know, usually with newer bands like this, they're trying to sort of make their mark on their genre as quickly as possible. So typically the first two albums, you know, you're going to have the first album is going to be a great proof of concept, and then the second album is going to be doubling down on that. And that's exactly what this is. It's a predictable change or a predictable progression, which is why I was really, really excited to see what these guys were going to be like on the second half of their discography.
2017, Heartless. You got your Keyblade ready, dude?
Yeah. Going to take out those Heartless Nobodies.
Which one is it? Heartless or Nobodies?
Depends on the game.
I'm still blaming Ansem.
But it wasn't Ansem. It was somebody else. I don't know. I don't want to get into the story
of
those games.
You haven't played Kingdom Hearts 3 yet, have you?
I have not played Kingdom Hearts 3 yet.
You're not missing anything. I'm sorry.
I'm not planning on it anytime soon. But as far as the album by Pallbearer, Heartless, this was kind of fascinating to me because, you know, in a lot of ways, it would be easy for me to just say, like, yeah, you know, if you like the last two albums, then you'll like this one, you know, move on next, which is what I'm going to be like, you know, in another episode coming up soon. But this album is interesting because they kind of double down more on sort of the shoegazy atmosphere of everything and a little bit less on the doom metal. And the band is so focused in on melody on this album that it does lose a little bit of the low end heaviness that we're used to. But I'm kind of here for it because I've already listened to 2 hours of that, you know, getting to this point. And so what you have are songs that are depressing and shoegazy and atmospheric, but sort of devoid on, you know, riff ideas and things like that. This is more of a melodic and sometimes actually, like, dare I say, positive sounding record. I mean, overall, yes, the sound's not going to be positive. We're still listening to Pallbearer, but this sounds more hopeful than anything else that they've put out to this point. And it's not necessarily overt. It's more subtle. But I mean, if you experiment around with melody this much as a band, then at some point you want people to feel good about what they're hearing.
I don't think it's the opposite side of the doom metal atmosphere this band has been creating since 2012. But this album did feel like the payoff for the last one. Not as much dirty guitars or these ongoing droning passages. Don't get me wrong, they're still there. But when the album kicks off with more melody, more complex melody than you've had for the entire discography up to this point, it sets you up for a positive feeling, and what you're expecting is negative if you've been listening up until this point. So I think this is the record that pays off the previous two. This might be the saving grace of the discography or the saving grace of the band. I don't think one album is why anyone likes this band. I think you have to take all of it in and let the story build as they move forward.
Yeah, I think the word payoff is a really good way to explain it. You know, I always talk about how, you know, in order to have something incredibly beautiful, you have to have something very melodic to contrast it, because that will actually enhance the heaviness of something or also enhance the melody when you put it against something that's very harsh. And this is sort of that, like, if the first two albums by Pallbearer are, you know, the super brutal verses of a song, this is the chorus. This is when we get to, this is where we get to compare and contrast what we've heard with what we're hearing now. And I think that they capture that really, really well on this album. And whenever I say it's less riff focused, I mean, please understand this is still a doom metal record. It still fits in that genre. There's still going to be a lot of heaviness here to like, but I do like them sort of messing with their pre-established formula a little bit more, because they very easily could have put out 10 of the first record and called it a day 20 years later and made as much money as these types of bands make. I don't actually know. I'm imagining it's probably not much, but you know, I appreciate that they are sort of pushing forward and not necessarily worried about, you know, keeping their strict doom metal sound at all times, because they are able to play with the things that they did invent, which was their personal brand of atmosphere and creativity. And that carries over into this, even if necessarily some of the more traditional doom elements don't.
I wish I could say more about this band, but I don't have a lot to say about doom metal in general. I think the atmosphere is what you're focusing on. It's a reason to kick back, lay back, and not feel all of the tension that you feel throughout the day. You're letting go of that emotion and just letting the music take over. So when you're listening to this band and they've spent an hour and a half setting expectations, we're going to play this really gloomy music, then they just go the opposite direction for a bit. I think that's a good place to be. I had not heard this album before listening to the discography this week, but I did get high hopes for where we would be in 2020. Forgotten Days.
Man, Forgotten Days is right. Honestly, this was the one that I, like, whenever I finish the discography, usually I breathe this sigh of relief and I'm like, okay, great, that's one band down. I don't have to listen to this band ever again if I don't want to. You know, that's always been sort of my thing. I usually feel that way in December more than I feel any other time. But this one was actually interesting. I got to the end of this album and I was like, same thing again? Yeah, let's do it again. And I listened to this album three or four times at the end, because I just really I like that they've transitioned more into like a post metal band, a little bit less doom metal. This is definitely not like, if you're a huge doom metal fan and somebody's like, hey, you should check out Paul Bearer, and you start with this one, you might come back to your friend and be like, no, dude, I said I was a doom metal fan. And because this record, they've fully transitioned into more of a post-metal sort of band. So you've got that slowness. You've got that atmosphere. You don't have some sort of sick love affair with Queensryche, you know. And I think this is what Paul Bearer really sounds like. And this is what they've always wanted to sound like. And this is just cascading chunks of awesomeness, if there's any other way to describe it. The riffs are all fun to listen to. The droning is fun to listen to. And, you know, again, I can see a traditionalist being like, this is not metal. But I don't care. I like that it's sort of positive. It's melodic. It has unique vocals. And in my mind, it still sounds like Paul Bearer, because I think this is who they really are. And they're sort of just standing on their own laurels now. And so, yeah, I thought this record was a huge step forward for the band, similarly to how I thought the last one was as well. And, I mean, I can't wait to hear what these guys do in the future, if this is the sort of thing that I can expect. I was really, really into the vocals on this one. I was into the guitar tone a lot. And I think production-wise, this sounds the best overall.
Were you surprised that Paul Bearer became the anti-Hum in 2020?
I mean, I don't really get the Hum comparisons, if I'm being honest, but I just enjoy the fact that I don't have to be in the mood to listen to metal to listen to Paul Bearer.
I think any band that can play one riff or one idea for 9 minutes straight and never get past the power chord is a good comparison. I agree with Dan, this is the best album in the discography, but it's not doom metal as much as it's that indie, gloomy sounding hard rock. But that's a cosmetic change more than an actual change. I think the overall theme of this band is simplicity and laying back and letting the music release whatever tension you're feeling throughout the day. And sometimes gloomy is what you're looking for. I've listened to many a Norma Jean album, so what does that tell you? This is the
payoff. You don't listen to doom metal?
Not very often. But here we are in 2020, one of the many recent years from hell, and Paul Bearer gave us their best album yet. I'm excited for where the future is going to take this band. I want to see what they do next. But I'm not going to be surprised if it's the same thing, because that's what they've given me now for 8 years.
I definitely feel like Palpatine talking to Anakin, and we shall watch your career with great interest.
Final thoughts on Paul Bearer. Dan.
Check him out, man. If you're depressed, maybe not. Maybe make sure you're feeling a little bit better beforehand, because it's not going to necessarily help cure your depression. But, you know, for me, I'm the kind of guy that if I'm feeling a certain way, sometimes just knowing that I'm heard and validated is enough. And if you're like that and you're depressed, check out Paul Bearer. If you like heavy riffs, check out Paul Bearer. If you like awesome, clean vocals that are depressing to listen to, check out Paul Bearer. These guys are the real deal. They're awesome. And I like pretty much all of their stuff. I don't have my laundry list of nitpicky gripes that I normally would hear. I just thought that they were a very solid, interesting experience. I am waiting for them to officially blow my mind in the future.
Are you looking for an atmospheric, gloomy band to either bring you down from whatever high you're on or remind you that there are worse feelings than what you're feeling right now? Because Paul Bearer might be that band. They tried to be that band for me this week. I really wasn't in the mood to listen to doom metal. But I think what this band does is play the doom metal tropes and the vibes of doom metal to the best it can possibly be. So if you are looking for that doom and gloom, you're not going to go wrong with Paul Bearer. And if you've had nothing but up-tempo double bass barking at the microphone for the last 3 weeks, and you need a change of pace, Paul Bearer might be the reset button that gets you back on track with the music you think you love. So listen to Paul Bearer. It'll be a good change of pace, even though it's trying to bring you so many bad vibes. Dan, what's your album of the week?
My album of the week is Dad Vibes. No, I'm kidding. That's not an album. you just said bad vibes, dad vibes. Anybody? You guys?
What about
get it?
Dan Vibes?
Dan Vibes is every episode of this podcast. I'm actually going to go with my album of the week is an album that we talked about on Patreon recently, which was the album Strength by the band Unto Others. Really, really kind of digging that. And it'd be interesting to listen to alongside a Paul Bearer. Maybe we should try mixing that. What if a band was as heavy as Paul Bearer, but then had the vocals of Unto Others?
So Glenn Danzig is what you're saying.
Well, there is this promising band that I don't think anybody knows about yet called Goblin Shark that's doing something very similar to that.
Oh, shit.
So, I think they've got a debut album coming out soon called Mariana's Trench. So, we'll more on that later.
For me, the import gods were kind this week. I finally got my CD of Modern Escapism by Blanket. We talked about that on Patreon a few weeks ago. It's the album you have not heard. If you're not subscribed to Patreon, $1 a month gets you to that exclusive album review feed, because you can't buy that album anywhere. Most people, the best they could do is the streaming, but I need that high quality audio. It is that atmospheric soundscape that I thought Paul Bearer was going to be. It's a little less gloomy, so there's your change of pace if you're into that style. Take us out, DFT.
Thank you guys for listening to yet another episode of Discography Discussion. We are here every single week bringing you the discography of a band that you like or may not like, or that we may like or may not like. So I appreciate every single one of you guys that subscribes and listens and emails and does all those things. If you do not know how to get a hold of us, you can send us an email at danandjoeshow@gmail.com. You can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/discography discussion. You can follow us on Twitter at Discuss Metal and also on Instagram at Discuss Metal. You can follow us on YouTube at Discuss Metal Dan. And, you know, if you guys need anything, let us know. You can join us on our Discord server. We have a link in the show notes that'll take you to the wonderful world of Discord, where fans like you are talking all the time and sharing memes, talking about the show and any other topic that we can think of that is not, you know, going to piss a whole bunch of people off. Or maybe it will. Well, you'll just have to go and find out. If you would like to sponsor an episode of Discography Discussion, again, send us an email at danandjoeshow@gmail.com, and we will discuss what we can do for you.
And on that note, this has been episode 262 of Discography Discussion. Thank you for listening. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Discuss Metal. Subscribe to our podcast everywhere you listen to podcasts, including Google Play, Apple Podcasts, and Stitcher. Visit DiscussMetal.com for all things Discography Discussion. And please send questions and comments to DanandJoeShow@gmail.com. If you are not a patron, you can become one at Patreon.com/DiscussMetal. We have some sweet perks.
Show me your money.
$1 a month gets you to that exclusive album review feed.